In the little moon, we will keep moonlight in this lonely. You can plant your cotton and you won't get a heaven stay lonely. Oh, we will find your little hole. A Louisiana ring takes a little wild, pretty bone on her. Well, I thought it would weave a lot of circle, a lot of Indian on her. And next time I see the bloody hat, his family there on her. Oh, we've left to take a lot of business by well on her. Where you going now? I'm going down to Mississippi, going to get a little down a hill on
it. All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mississippi Sunshine. Back after a rather long absence, and I'm glad to get these going again. And I'm happy to have a friend of mine named Chris Harris is with us today. And I'm going to let Chris describe what he does. When he lived down here on the coast, I had a much better idea. And then he moved off up to Jackson and started working with the Mississippi Braves. But Chris, I'm going to let you give some background about yourself and little biographical stuff, you know, where you're from, that kind of thing. I think I said, tell us everything, like what you wouldn't eat in the third grade. You know, it's
right. No, thanks, Mr. Bill. I appreciate you having me and certainly great to talk about the state of Mississippi. And so my title is Director of Communications, Media and Broadcasting with the Mississippi Braves. But everyone who works here is also a full-time employee for the Atlanta Braves as well. And, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing here. This will be my fourth year, third season with the M Braves. And, you know, last year, the pandemic shut down our entire season. And it's good to get back to playing a season, which starts for us in less than 2 weeks on May the 4th. But for me, you know, I started out in this industry back around 2008, and that was for my hometown team in Jackson, Tennessee. They were known as the West 10 Diamond Jacks, and was just randomly one day got a call from the assistant general manager there. I'd been doing some radio in the area as I got out of college and offered the position to me to be the media director and broadcaster there. And was there for 6 years as we changed our name to the Jackson Generals of Jackson, Tennessee, not to be confused with the Jackson Generals that used to be in Mississippi, but was with them until 2014. And it was great to live at home and be able to work for a AA minor league baseball team. And, you know, right there close to home, the team I grew up, you know, watching and seeing come to fruition there. In 2014, I got a tremendous opportunity to help, you know, get a team started, the Biloxi Shuckers. I'd gotten to know the GM of the then Huntsville Stars really well. And they really didn't have a huge PR presence the last couple of years. And he had asked me during that summer if I would be interested in helping to get them going from a PR perspective, write some press releases, just kind of as a consultant type of a thing. And it kind of blossomed into more and more as the summer and that fall and that winter went along as to finally in the winter of 2014, hired full time to lead the public relations efforts and broadcast efforts and of what was extremely challenging, but also extremely fun. The opening of the new ballpark on the coast, something that had been really, you know, dreamed about back 15, 20 years prior. All right. By Barry Lyons, the former New York Mets player that lives in the area, Tim Bennett, who has now, you know, laid the groundwork for two minor league baseball teams in the state. And of course, some things happen along the way with obviously, as you know, Hurricane Katrina, the BP oil spill, some things that really were roadblocks. But finally, it came to fruition. And even though the ballpark was behind schedule a bit, you know, we still were able to get a lot of attention, maybe negatively and positively at the same time, but it all worked out with having to play our first 54 games on the road that year, living out of a suitcase, having ESPN tag along with us and do a documentary on the team, which for me in that sense was always turned out to be something really special, because it really started out as a story about the team, the players living out of a suitcase, but really blossomed into something about the coast, about a community that was, you know, kind of longing for baseball, had gone through a lot of tough times, and then that collective rejoicing as a community when it finally did come true on June 6th of that year. Spent three great years in Biloxi, really had never thought about leaving the coast. I really loved it there, as you know. Then in the winter of 2017, I got a call from the GM here in Mississippi, or the M Braves. And of course, they are owned and operated by the Atlanta Braves. So it was a job offer to work for the Atlanta Braves with all the perks and benefits and all that kind of stuff. So it was really something I couldn't turn down. What made it a tough decision was the fact that I did love living on the coast and the people and the church there at Rodenburg and all that, you know, but it took some time to adjust to this environment here. A lot of changes are made during the 2018 season. But you know, I've settled in here and enjoy it and certainly love keeping track of everyone on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, that's great. Baseball has taken on a good life down here, I think. I know lots of people that got season tickets, so it must be they must be somewhat happy. Sports, is this something that you were always involved in? I mean, did you play sports as a kid, high school? I mean, how did you really get into this kind of thing?
I think the first time I could physically pick up a ball, I did when I was super young, and really it started from there. You know, I played Little League baseball, T-ball before that. I remember as a really youngster, once I could finally walk, I think my dad took me to the ballpark, and we had to run the bases pretty much at every field, you know, before the day was over. So, you know, especially baseball, you know, grew up in West Tennessee, went up to St. Louis a lot, watched the Cardinals play, you know, had a love for them. And then, of course, I mean, it went into high school and travel ball. Had a great career at Jackson Christian in West Tennessee, where still hold some state records for different things, but you know, went on to college and you know, was going to play baseball, and I think at some point started playing baseball, and you know, as college went on, I think I finally realized I was a little bit burnt out from actually playing the game, and started, you know, getting into the broadcasting of different sports, and you know, things happen for a reason. And you know, I think the aches and pains and the body sort of was ready for something different. But yeah, play basketball in high school as well. When you're 6'7", I think it's a must.
Yeah.
To play basketball.
Yeah,
so
not too many 6'7" high school kids.
you can certainly you get a lot of rebounds that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, sports was always a big part of my life, and you know, I've never. My parents, who are a huge part of my life, you know, always will still remind me, when are you going to ever get a real job? You know, because I've never really worked a 9-to-5 job. I put in certainly a ton of hours.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a non-traditional way to make a living. And not everybody can put up with the hours, but I can't imagine really going in a different direction, at least for now.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. I know you talked about being down here on the coast, being with the Biloxi Shuckers, and spending time here and getting that team started, and all the woes and the blessings of a brand new stadium and getting all that thing built. And I do remember that first season where you guys had to play on the road for what, almost
54 games,
first half, you know, mm-hmm. of the season. That was really interesting. But what in your mind, from your time on the coast down here in Biloxi and down in this area, what really stands out about this part of the world and the people that you met?
you know, when I moved there, I really didn't know what to expect. You know, Mississippi, and you hear about how people are. I'm not talking good or bad. I'm just saying, you know, the culture. I was really taken on the coast of just how much of a melting pot it was.
Yeah.
Old, young, obviously a huge military presence and a lot of veterans, all races. I mean, it was really, truly a melting pot of people and of ideas. And, you know, you can go down the coast and all the communities from Pascagoula to past Christiane, you know, it's something different in every community and something good that everyone brings to the table. So I think that was the best thing, is just the way that the diversity and the culture was like that, and also embraced you. You know, I never felt like I was someone coming in and you know, I had to prove myself, and obviously you do, but you never have to be someone you're not. They'll accept you, and you can really fit in. So that's one thing I was really taken to there. I don't know that it surprised me, but I was very thankful for that. People were just so welcoming, and you know, it was just a really warm experience when I first moved to the coast.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think you're exactly right. I mentioned to you earlier, I did an interview with a lady that writes books about Mississippi. And in that interview, we talked about something that she had like a whole chapter on in one of her books. She says that there are, I don't know, maybe five different sections of Mississippi. And yeah, each section is unique. And I think that's probably true. In the Gulf Coast area is probably somewhat different than the rest of the state of Mississippi, and then you got pockets, you know, around. You've moved up into another one around, you know, our big city of Jackson, and but I think that that's exactly true, and it's one of the things that always hit me about our state is I love our people. We got some knotheads, but you know, for the most part, you hit it nail on the head, I think. Okay, you're with the Mississippi Braves, and I also saw you doing some broadcasts with some basketball games this year with ESPN. So tell me about how does all that work together? Well, how does Mississippi Braves work you into doing basketball with ESPN and that kind of stuff?
I you know, not to go off on a random thing, but I always call it my freelance time, or the side hustle over there, you know, yeah. where you're doing something like that. But, you know, I think last year, more than any, there was so much uncertainty about what was going to happen. So many in my field and in this industry were being furloughed and laid off because there wasn't any revenue coming in. For a lot of teams. And I think last year it started in the fall with football, and I've generated it such a great relationship with the folks over at the University of Louisiana Monroe and the Sun Belt Conference that, you know, some opportunities came up for football. I was able to broadcast three football games on ESPN platforms this past fall, and then did 28 basketball games, men's and women's, starting in December. That went through late February. And then I've done some baseball and some softball as well. But that, you know, it's something that obviously I had to, you know, make sure the Braves were okay with. Yeah. And they were nothing but supportive and enjoy the fact that, you know, I'm getting out there a little bit more. And actually what's crazy is we've generated a lot of some interest from the folks over in Louisiana, even in the Braves, and found out there's a lot of Braves fans over there. But what a blessing that was to be able to do that. And, you know, so many games. And I think anyone who grows up wanting to be a sportscaster, when you get to say, you know, this has been a presentation of ESPN at the end of your broadcast, that's pretty doggone cool.
That's pretty big,
you know.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
So you know, I got nothing but solid reviews. And this year was different because of all the COVID things we had to go through. You know, the actual broadcasts were different. I never had to do a remote broadcast where I was just calling it off of a screen. But things did change and evolve, you know, as football season went to basketball season into the spring sports as well. But TV and streaming are definitely where everything is heading, especially the streaming side. And for ESPN, their new platform partnered with Disney Plus, ESPN Plus. Was able to do a lot on that. I read a ton of promos for the UFC when games were on the ESPN Plus platform. But, you know, doing TV is a lot different than doing radio. So when you've done over 1,500 baseball games on the radio, and you have to describe everything, you have to describe the color of the jersey, you have to describe whether he's dribbling or not, the type of shot. In TV, you know, your audience can see all that. So you're basically narrating the game. So you really have to create a different type of a broadcast based on that. So you really have to take a lot more time for preparation into notes, you know, while the game's going on. You don't have to describe what's happening, but just offer details about the player that has the ball. Obviously, your statistics. You rely on your color man, the guy who's broadcasting with you, on analysis, and he becomes really more of the star than the play-by-play person, because he offers those descriptions of what you're actually seeing and how it's happening. So that what, when, where, why for TV is a lot different than for radio. So I kind of had to actually put a little note on my spot sheets to remind myself to kind of slow down.
Yeah,
that people can see what's happening. You're just there to help them along the way.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned COVID-19 and all the problems that you know, the little virus has created for us, and it's hit everything pretty hard. Businesses and people, whatever job that they're working in, pretty much everybody's been affected by it in one way or another. So when you think about sports in Mississippi and how COVID-19 has affected that, what have you noticed, and where do you see that going here maybe this year? Are we moving in a better direction than last, I hope?
That's the $1 million question. We're right in the middle of it. We're still writing the story. I have some things in my head of where I hope it goes. But you just don't know. I think we've all learned, you know, for us in our industry, you know, I'll always say, no matter what schooling you had, that folks who work in minor league baseball are some of the most creative people, creative minds in the world. Just because you look at all the crazy promotions that happen during a season, the things to get fans engaged and coming to games and really taking in that family atmosphere and affordable entertainment. So last year, you know, we had to get creative and came up with different ways to utilize the ballpark in a safe way, and did some movie nights on our video board, showed Ferris Bueller's Day Off and some kids movies last year. And, you know, part, you know, the outfield was put into different pods where, you know, families were together and things like that. We turned our outfield into a Top Golf, where, you know, you could come out and hit golf balls, you know, into a stadium. I mean, how many times can you do that? We had like a Father's Day batting practice event where they could come out and take batting practice off a pitching machine and do that. So we really were able to find some things that we can now utilize going forward in the offseason to not only create more revenue, but keep, you know, the ballpark active during the offseason as well. And the pandemic has come, you know, right into our backyard, literally here, because right outside my window of my office at the ballpark, they're giving out vaccines. Yeah. At one point, they started this out here in January. They were doing about 1,100 per day. This is the spot in Rankin County for you to get your Pfizer vaccine. So literally, you were reminded of it every time you walked out the door or turned around and looked. You know, you realize you were in the middle of a pandemic. And so that brought things really close to home for us here. And, you know, I was really proud of the Braves, you know, working with the Mississippi Department of Health, with the National Guard. And basically, you know, there was an offer to pay. We wouldn't take it. You know, yeah. we gave them the space out there in our parking lot to do it. And it's going to continue. They're just going to have to cut off by a certain time on game days, which they were perfectly fine with. So
yeah,
it's really hit close to home here. And like we were talking last night, you know, I think this pandemic, no matter what industry you're in, you've learned something about how to operate differently, creatively, and, you know, figure out ways to keep going, whether you can't meet in person or not. I think we all thrive on face-to-face interaction, especially in Mississippi. But, you know, when circumstances are like they are, I've been super impressed with the way people have really come up with unique ways to keep going and keep being creative.
Yeah. When stadiums open up, are they going to be mask-free or optional or required, or what's that going to be?
Man, I tell you, when we don't have a true receptionist here, so our phone rings in random offices throughout the day. And some of the calls we get are quite interesting, but we follow the guidance from Major League Baseball. They govern all of our teams. And as we start the season in May, we're operating at 50% capacity. Masks will be required on entrance and moving around the ballpark. When fans get to their seats, you know, they're more than welcome to take off their masks and enjoy the game and eat a hot dog and drink
hard
a soda.
To eat a hot dog with a mask on. Eh?
That's very true. But, you know, you hate to say this out loud, but it's true. You know, we're not going to be, you know, the mask police. It's become such a divisive thing, which is, you know, unfortunate. But, you know, the thing I'm most excited about is just being able to offer a safe environment where, you know, we're going to protect our fans and give them a place to actually get out. You know, things are going to look different, obviously, but it's something that you know, will evolve as the year goes on, for sure. As guidance changes, not only locally but nationally as
right.
well.
And I think the more people that get a vaccine will change that as well. At some point, hopefully, right. we'll hit herd immunity and
right.
It'll kind of be a non-issue at that point.
And the players are getting vaccinated as well. You know, I think some of the players that are coming here will be getting their second dose, I think, next week before our season starts. So that's tremendous as well.
Yeah, that's great. Chris, what do you think about the place of sports in general? And maybe if you've had a chance to kind of get an insight into sports in Mississippi, how do you think that plays with our young people, and what advantage do you think that provides for young folks coming up?
Well, I go to two different places when you say that, because, you know, youth sports is, I mean, to me, when I grew up, youth sports was something that was just part of my life. There are certain places where it is, certain areas. And then there's certain places that it's not available. It's not something that you can do because of certain things, whether it be financial strains on a community or whatnot. And I think there are certainly areas where youth baseball is important. And I think there are certain areas where things need work. And one thing I was really proud of is now here in Jackson, the Jackson area, Hank Aaron, who passed away in January, once he retired, I don't know that people really realized the impact he had on the game and starting at a young level. Once he quit playing baseball, he became the director of the minor leagues for the Atlanta Braves. He hired the current manager of the Atlanta Braves, Brian Snitker, back in 1979. His phone was always available for young players. He was able to create a lot of youth fields in the Atlanta area, back in the Milwaukee area where he once played. And he put together a plan in the last years of his life about building Hank Aaron baseball academies across the country, mainly in the Southeast, where the Atlanta Braves are obviously the biggest.
Right.
And there is now one here in Jackson. I will always say, and I think the research shows, when youth sports are available in a community, it puts a young person, male, female, in a better spot growing up when you have something to do and you're not, you know, involved in something else. You're after school programs. So one thing, especially here in Jackson, you know, they're really focusing on is getting fields available for young kids so they have something to do. I think they want to play, and just giving them that avenue, I think, can go a long way. And not only because you learn so many things from sports, and sports isn't for everybody. There's people in my family that never played sports. And some of them are making a ton more money than I do because they're engineers and things like that.
Right.
But sports gives you a lot of life lessons along the way, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, you really learn a lot. And when you have the right mentors and things like that, it can go a long way in the development of a child. And something that I've really enjoyed here is being able to install our reading program that I did in Biloxi.
Yep.
You know, last year when we go out to schools, we did pep rallies at 30 different elementary schools in the area. And, you know, it was extremely, you know, beneficial for not only us, but also the kids, and reading books and being able to come out to a Braves game and just give them that opportunity to see what's out there. So I'm really passionate about youth and reading and youth sports, and, you know, seeing what the Braves are doing right now is really, really exciting.
That's great. I know you're from Tennessee, and if I remember right, well, I remember you being a Memphis Tiger fan. Do I remember that correctly?
You can probably see the...
I haven't made an Ole Miss fan out of you yet, have I?
You know, and one great thing about, you know, Mississippi in general is you have such loyalty to the teams. You know, we host Ole Miss versus Mississippi State games here, right. Southern Miss, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, Ole Miss. And the passion for those teams is tremendous in every sport, including baseball, which isn't the case a lot of times around the country. I'll always be a Memphis person because that's where my parents went. That's where my mom played basketball. Right. Where I spent time and really growing up going to basketball games at the Mid-South Coliseum and the Pyramid and the FedEx Forum, and rooting for Penny Hardaway. And now he's back as the head coach and seeing the football team. So it's always going to be special to me. So I really hope that, you know, they continue to do well, but I tell you, I've been able to call games for Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Southern Miss. So that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, of course, I grew up in Oxford and went to Ole Miss, and back then, I guess football was like the sport. Lots of other sports sort of got a nod and a wink. But baseball was not big back then. The Ole Miss baseball field back in the 60s was not a whole lot better than the high school baseball field.
Right.
Football is where, you know, most of the emphasis went. But I'm glad that most of our colleges and universities are branching out into other sports. I was reading the other day about the Ole Miss women's shooting team, you know, rifle team, and other sports, that track and field, you know, all of these things are really getting much, much more attention. And I think that's a great thing for our state rather than focus just on one mm-hmm. sport.
Well, and even the smaller schools, you know, you have Mississippi Gulf Coast down there, who's had some championship football, basketball, other sport teams, but, you know, locally here in the Jackson area, Belhaven Their softball team is making national noise this year. You have great things going on at Millsaps and Mississippi College. So those smaller schools, you can't forget those because.
Yeah, that's true. I know there was a time when Delta State used to get a lot of mileage out of promoting the fact that they were playing for national championships and Ole Miss.
Fighting Okra.
They were, that's right. Hey, by the way, I was at the football game at Delta State the day that they introduced the Okra.
What was that, like 1912?
Oh, no, it was, I don't remember when it was, but I was there that day. I thought, Okra. Okay, this is interesting. We went from Statesman to Okra. How does this work? Right. us Ole Miss folks got a lot of fun out of that, but it was okay. So let me ask you this. This is kind of a wide open question, and you can go anywhere you want to on this, but having lived in Mississippi now for several years on the coast and then up in the Jackson area, what is it that you love the most about this state?
Well, I think, firstly, you know where I'm going with this is I have to start out with the food. You know, living on the coast, you literally can walk about, you know, 30 yards and almost be at another phenomenal seafood place.
Yeah.
It really is incredible. You know, to see the creativity. I was introduced to crawfish back in 2015 in Tennessee. I promise you, you never hear the word crawfish and eating in the same sentence.
Yeah.
But it's a religion of some sorts in Mississippi, eating crawfish and crawfish are fine. I'd still prefer my shrimp and crab legs over crawfish, but I'll certainly eat my fair share of potatoes and corn and good crawfish.
Yeah. I'm convinced good crawfish meal is as much a social event as it is a meal.
No doubt about it. In fact, it was a Super Bowl function, I think, when the first time I was able to eat crawfish. But the food is phenomenal. You get a lot of a great soul food. You know, there's a place here in the Jackson area up near Madison called Mama Hamill's, where you know, pandemic has certainly slowed down a lot of buffets. But you want some of the best fried chicken, catfish, man, that place is phenomenal.
Mama Hamill's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where
it's an experience. It is a little bit north of Jackson near Madison and Ridgeland.
Good. We'll give them a plug. Maybe people mm-hmm. will stop in and have a meal.
Funny story about that place. I was with the Shuckers the first time I went there. We were playing the M Braves, and as a visitor, our pitching coach for the Shuckers told me after a game one night, said, some of us are taking the bus tomorrow to a place called Mama Hamill's to eat. You'll love it. And I said, okay, sure. And we had about 10, 11 guys on a bus and we drove over to it. And I've never seen anyone more excited about eating a meal than he was when he got there. But every trip we took one day and went to Mama Hamill's. Funny story is he's now the pitching coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. So I always text him in a picture of my plate or something when I'm
making jealous, huh?
and make him jealous, or I could probably mail him I'm not sure if even the folks at Mama Hamill's know the pitching coach for the Milwaukee Brewers is their biggest fan.
Oh, well,
but there's so many great places, you know, hole in the wall, you know, local places, you know, some of the chains are solid as well. They're in Mississippi, but Mississippi has a taste, and it's usually involved with fried foods and stuff not good for your health, but man, it is so good going down.
That's the truth. We may not be the healthiest place, but we enjoy it, you know, whatever it is. Are there any particular places that you found to be interesting that you've been able to travel to, or things that you have attended that might seem a little bit unique to Mississippi?
You know, last year especially, I was able to get out and go, started really hiking last year. There really wasn't much to do, so was able to venture out to the Natchez Trace and get out there on some of their hiking trails. Roosevelt State Park and the National Forest there, was able to, you know, get out there and log a lot of miles. So I think Mississippi is very underrated. There's some different places around the state when it comes to, you know, things in nature. I know you're a great nature photographer. There's a lot of areas around the coast, the place over in Ocean Springs, the
Gulf Islands.
Yes. That is somewhere I think everyone should visit. Of course, you have the aquarium down there. I'm looking forward to seeing it for the first time.
I haven't been to that, but I got to go.
I love going over to the Oro Keefe Museum. And what an interesting place that was with some of the exhibits they were able to bring in. I think a lot of people don't realize that Mississippi has a lot of culture and, you know, going over to Vicksburg. That was one of the first things I did when I moved here was going to Vicksburg and exploring the battlefield, the monuments that each state's have placed there. You can still see the trenches where they, you know, had trench warfare during the Civil War. You go over to Vicksburg Landing, and then you can still see remnants of the Civil War and what was fought there. So there's really a lot of things historically, nature things that I think people don't realize about the coast. And then, of course, when you get to the coast, the water is readily available. Going out to Ship Island is something I think everyone should do. One of my trips out to Ship Island, we had some dolphins chasing us, which was extremely neat. But you go out there and it's almost like a private island with blue waters.
Yeah,
it's pretty affordable as well, and I believe they can go out of both Gulfport and Biloxi now.
Yeah, I think that's true. They've going out from what we call the Point down here in Biloxi. I know they moved it over there after the last hurricane.
So right.
If you're you know being from Mississippi, this is my home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I left Oxford in, what year was that, 68, I think, or 69, when I went into the Air Force. So I've never really lived there since then. I've lived in some other places in Mississippi, but I have had the chance to travel and meet people from all kinds of other places. And my family has lived all over the Southeast, from Florida to Kansas, and kind of all in there. But I've always found it interesting what people think about Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So now that you've been one of us for a while, when you see folks from other places that they find out you live and work in Mississippi now, and they may go, oh, Chris, what's that like being in Mississippi? How would you explain us to outsiders?
That you know, that's a really complex question that you asked. And you know, I think every place has its, I mean, no place is perfect. I mean, if you want a perfect place, you know, when we pass away from this earth, we'll have a chance to go to heaven. I think that's the perfect place. So, you know, nowhere is perfect. I'll always say that, you know, everybody has more work to do when it comes to a lot of different, parts of life in general. No place is going to be perfect, but one of my good friends, Tim Bennett, who, you know, I'll tell this story because I know he wouldn't mind. He is an African-American gentleman and he grew up in Florida. He mowed the yards of different celebrities down in the Orlando area. And he got on and got into baseball. Tim was able to work with the state of Mississippi and now has been able to lay the groundwork and really plant two professional baseball teams in the state of Mississippi when it didn't have any. So Mississippi gives you an opportunity, no matter your race, your creed, your religion, you know, male or female, it provides that opportunity. No matter what you say, you're going to find bad apples anywhere, but, it provides that opportunity. And here I am, you know, nearly 7 years later, I've got my Mississippi driver's license and all that good stuff. I pay my taxes in Mississippi, obviously. And, you know, it's been good to me because it's given me two amazing opportunities to work for professional baseball teams. I'm, you know, how amazing is it that, you know, I've been able to be the voice of the two professional baseball teams in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, what an opportunity, what a blessing. So, you know, I think I'm a perfect example of what Mississippi has to offer. And, you know, that's kind of a long-winded answer, but it's true. And, yeah. And that opportunity is the way I would describe it.
I appreciate that. Sounds great. Chris, we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to give you one last shot here. This is open-ended. You bring this to a close however you would like to, with what you'd like to say about the good old state of Mississippi and muddy Mississippi water or good catfish, whatever, hush puppy. And, you know, the problem, one of the big problems with Mississippi today is nobody knows how to make a hush puppy. My sister, when she was alive several years ago, used to own a catfish restaurant.
Sure.
And people would drive 50 miles on a weekend to come eat at her restaurant. And one of the things that brought them there were her hush puppies. Nobody knows how to make hush puppies anymore. They buy these little bullets, I call them.
No.
You can shoot them in a slingshot and hurt people. But what is it? What would you like to wrap this thing up with?
Man, I tell you, you're allowing me to talk. I'm used to listening to your sermons and having to be quiet. You know, now, you know, you're one of the witnesses that knows that I can actually preach a sermon, you know, so
that's true.
I guess this is my sermonette to end this. No, I, you know, just a positive. It's been a tough year. It really has. I think everybody's experienced heartache, whether it be loss, whether it be, you know, losing family members, losing friends, having someone close to you lose a job. You know, I try to live by the motto to just be kind, you know, say something nice. It's so easy nowadays to be negative. And I always just lean over to people and say, just be kind. You know, empathy is something that I think is one of the most important traits that you can have. You don't necessarily have to understand what somebody's going through, but you can at least empathize with them. You can put yourself theoretically in their shoes and feel what they're feeling. You know, mental health is something that I think is a crisis just about as much as anything. And I think a lot of that can be driven just by negative energy and obviously going to the Bible is the perfect place to start for that, but also just not only going to the Bible and reading it, but walking that way. Faith without works is dead. You know, you have to be able to live your life, love people, and show grace and kindness every day. And you know, I think that's what every one of us need to do a better job of, because now more than ever, we really need to support each other. Whether you agree with someone, whether you don't look like someone else, you know, treat them like you would want to be treated. And I think that's the most important message right now that we need to have. And that's kind of my small sermon out on the Mississippi side of things. You can get Mississippi Braves tickets at MississippiBraves.com or call 888-BRAVES-4. So I welcome anyone to come watch a Braves game this year and enjoy getting out as things begin to clear up and more people get vaccinated. Get out, enjoy this amazing state. There's a lot of places to go and see and do and play, and I look forward to seeing everybody soon.
That sounds great. Chris, thank you so much. Chris Harris, Director of Communications for the Mississippi Braves. Thank you so much, Chris, for being with me today. This has been a lot of fun. Great to talk with you.
It's a little boat we keep moving. Your cotton, you won't get a heaven stain, Lord. Oh, we'll find your little hole, Lord. A Louisiana rim takes a little while, pretty bone, Lord. Well, I started, boy, we've a lot of snakes, a lot of Indians. treated bloody hell and family there.